This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit provides information on how you can lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm the host, Josie Bidwell. Search for and subscribe to Southern Remedy on any podcasting app to not miss any episode.
Welcome to Deep South Dining, and Carol is back. It was no sunshine while you were gone, Carol.
There was a lot of rain and storms while I was away. But there was sunshine where I was.
I was going to say, you went to the sun.
I did indeed. Had a quick few days vacation outside of Tucson, Arizona, and it was mighty fine, and the food was mighty fine.
Want to tell us about it?
Well, Tucson is actually a heritage area for food in the U.S. So just a lot of Southwestern cuisine, that lots and lots of Mexican influence. I actually took a class on making tortillas.
And we shall
so
have those
So I will
soon,
make some tortillas for you guys. But it's good to be back. I caught most of the show on Monday, and what a great show.
Yeah,
it
crawfish.
Was caught crawfish.
Was and Java, good. We missed what was previously here on MPB. We missed out on the crawfish app. We didn't know about it until this morning's.
Yeah, they just did a story on Mississippi Edition. I want to say it was the Gulf States Newsroom, but they were talking about the crawfish app where you can, I guess, live track. Maybe it's like the NASDAQ or the
to track the price.
Yeah, to track the price of this crawfish.
Yeah, well, there's actually, I don't know if this is the same thing, a crawfish calculator.
Okay.
You put in, like, if you're going to have a party this Saturday, you put in how many pounds of how many people, and it tells you how many pounds you need and what the price will be.
Yeah, and it fluctuates.
Yeah, yes. And this app is more about price, availability, and what you're talking about is about how to calculate how much to cook. So these are, I would think,
and the price for the week of what it is.
So you may want to have a party on Saturday, but it may be best to push it later on in the week or something.
To the correct. But before we get into lots of other things, I have something to say to both of you.
All right.
That is, happy anniversary. This is our fifth anniversary.
Oh, boy.
We've been doing the show for 5 years.
And just like a couple of guys, me and Malcolm didn't even notice.
Well,
thank you
for reminding
us.
It's just the usual, but that is kind of cool.
Very cool.
It is very cool.
I had the number 5 in my head. I think I use it occasionally when people say, how long have y'all been doing that? But I did not know that this was our anniversary show.
Well, I mean, it may not be. It is our anniversary show. It may not be the exact date, but who knew when we started this journey together where it would take us?
And correct. I want to thank y'all, because y'all have really helped expand my palate in these 5 years. I've eaten things that I would not have done or eaten if it wouldn't been for you guys' influence.
Yes, you're quite the connoisseur, and you were actually sitting across from us this morning to talk about your latest food adventure.
Oh, yeah. This was right in the heart of the Delta. Big thanks to the city of Clarksdale and the Juke Joint Festival. MPB, we love us some Clarksdale, and we were out there again, ready to come back on next year. But we went to eat at Yazoo Pass. This restaurant is in an old Woolworths building, and I had our intern, Nyla, there, and I had to explain to her what a Woolworths was. But, yeah, it was great, and I forget the chef's name. I don't want to mispronounce it, so I'm not going to try to say it. But kudos to the chef for some of the best grits I have ever tasted. I've been on this shrimp and grits kick. I even have some shrimp at home that I'm going to try to mangle together myself with some shrimp and grits. But the best shrimp and grits that I've had. And the grits, I mean, I don't know how grits can be the star of the show, but they were the star of the show
this weekend. You know, it's corn. So, you know, corn can be the star.
Well, they were front and center stage spotlight. and I had to keep going back for
how
the
many
grits.
Times did you eat the grits?
I don't.
Java?
I mean, we're on a live broadcast on my phone. I'm gonna save myself a little bit of shame.
But Java, I hope we can continue to dig deep into the world of grits because it's been fun watching your journey on this.
Yeah.
The shrimp and grits journey, and now knowing there is a whole shrimp and grits book that you can have many, many recipes. And I think what we should do, one of us should call up there this week and actually ask what kind of grits they are using, because we could add that to our repertoire.
There's, and we would hope they're local grits.
Yeah.
I would assume so, because the way they were tasting, and it was Parmesan cheese grits.
Oh, of course.
So it was on and popping in my mouth.
So I wish that each of our listeners could have this visual. Carol has emptied the entire contents of her purse out in front of her here. And it is a sight to behold.
She had a little spillage.
Yes.
Oh, you had a little spillage.
I have three.
I thought you were doing inventory.
No, I have three sets of different car keys.
Yeah, I see that.
From our house.
Right.
And what happened was my water bottle this morning.
Sorry.
Tumped over, as we say in the South.
Into your purse.
Into my purse.
So now,
I'm drying
this
things.
This is cleanup.
Yes.
On aisle. Cleanup on aisle number four.
I'm drying things out as we broadcast.
All right, so you learned to make
tortillas.
But what else did you eat out there?
I ate lots of things with black beans and rice, lots of different type of peppers. My favorite thing in Tucson is something called the cheese crisp.
Cheese crisp.
Which is a giant, like a picture, a 12-inch flour tortilla, real roughly, with many ingredients on it, and they bring them to your table on a stand. And I actually had a chili relleno cheese crisp, but it's become a tradition for my friend Donna Barksdale.
Is that like baking Parmesan in the oven, making those little crisps?
Well, it's a flour tortilla, but it's light. Actually, Tim Pierce, our great Tim Pierce, has duplicated it and makes actually small ones. But it's a tradition for friends Donna Barksdale, Sally Howarth, and me whenever we go where we go there, to stop and start the day with a margarita and a cheese crisp.
Great.
A great start to any day.
Speaking of margaritas, they had a huge blowout out at the Hollywood Bowl in L.A. for Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
It's all over social media.
Margaritaville.
Our great friend Chico Harris took the Greyhound from Tupelo to L.A.
Look at Chico.
And experienced the Jimmy Buffett, I guess it would be memorial. And he sent me photos all throughout the concert. I mean, Paul McCartney, Woody Harrelson, everybody.
It went on and on.
Yeah.
But seeing Paul McCartney.
Mac McAnally sort of led the charge, Belmont's own.
Yeah. But
that
anyway. That is cool.
And Jimmy Buffett was born a Mississippian
on
the Gulf Coast and went to the University of Southern Mississippi, so we claim him.
Oh, yeah, we claim him, really. And I do have to mention, I know we're moving forward, we have some great guests today. Shout out to the Dirty Napkins. But I also went to Lenya
in
Clarksdale.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, which is, it's right up the road. I don't think Clarksdale and Cleveland would appreciate
that. No, they're pretty clear that they're separate places.
Okay. But, yeah, we went and saw Marisol and Rory Doyle in Cleveland on Cotton Row, and it's so funny. We asked Marisol, can we come and interview her in the shop, because she has been here in the studio, and you can check out that podcast wherever you get your podcast for Deep South Dining. But she said, please come at 4, because when the shop opens at 5, I won't be able to talk. And I was like, you may be busy, but I think we could do something. No.
No.
At 5 o'clock, the line was there.
No.
And she was working. So I'm glad we got there at 4, talk with her. She even let me make a pizza. And
pizza
flip,
by Java.
And flip the dough and put it in this in the oven all the way from Italy. And it was a great time. So shout out to Marisol and Rory out there at Alania in Cleveland.
Great. Java, you are just something. You know, you have become one of Mississippi's most knowledgeable foodies, or at least most renowned.
That's on the radio from 9 to 10 on Monday.
But Malcolm, that's serious, actually, baking a pizza.
Yeah, he's moving right along. All right, in the news, we've got a couple things. In the news, Martin's Downtown has now opened a second location at Livingston called Martin's Marketplace or something like that. So if you're a fan of the Martin's food and Martin's entertainment across the street from Howl & Mouse, they're now in Livingston. Also, our great friend Randy Yates has retired at Ajax in Oxford. He has sold the business after 27 years. Hmm. We wish Randy
a notable change in the dining culture of Mississippi.
And we wish Randy the best. The Mayflower has been sold, and there will be new owners in a week or so. They will close down for renovation. And so the Mayflower will have downstairs bathrooms and a bar when it reopens, Carol. And finally, my son-in-law, Jonathan Webb, has left Politos and has moved out to Kessler Prime out in Ridgeland. So a change of location. And Polito, fabulous Italian restaurant, will be carried on in great style by those folks remaining there. So anyway, those are a couple of things in the news. And Marissa had an update she wanted to share with us from last week's show. What's going on, Marissa?
Yes, thank you. So I need to make a correction to some misinformation from last week. So Chef Dave Woodward has served as the executive chef at Millsaps for the past 34 years. And 34 years in any profession is worth celebrating. So thank you, Chef Dave, for your service to Millsaps College and for finding the humor in our unfortunate mistake. So, yeah.
Yes, I was listening from Tucson that y'all announced him as the new chef.
Exactly. I know.
I follow him on Cooking and Coping. He's one of our top contributors. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate him, you know, all around.
Oh, yeah.
He brings some great food to the table.
And he was so nice about it. He was just like,
You know, what's new is old. And life goes on. But anyway, no big deal. But all the best to Dave and you know, to Cooking and Coping. Hey, speaking of Cooking and Coping, I noticed that our great friend Leanne Galt posted that she has not had a refrigerator in 12 days, that her refrigerator is out.
I feel her pain.
This is not good.
Yeah.
Now, you lost yours recently, right?
Yeah, I lost mine for several months till the new one came in. I bought a little tiny one.
But you're back in...
Yeah, I'm back in business, but when Leanne doesn't have a refrigerator, magic happens.
Good.
Doesn't look like she's missing a beat.
Yeah, but she's doing it. She's ad-libbing there with no refrigerator. But our heart goes out to our great friend, Leanne. Hope you have refrigeration very soon. We're going to continue the conversation. We will talk about food blogging, right? We'll have Lisa Bynum on from from her blog called The Cooking Bride, and she will tell us all about that adventure, and we hope that you'll stay tuned for that. And we'll have other guests in the third segment from the Dirty Napkin Supper Club, an event in which Marissa and I attended last Saturday, and we'll share all about that. We've got Kaylin Partee and Chef JB coming on. Welcome back to Deep South Dining right here on MPB Think Radio. Carol, we're so glad you're back. We missed you last week.
Missed you too, Mal.
Trust you had a wonderful time.
Indeed, I did.
So, we have a guest in the studio who neither of us have met. So, this will be our introduction to Lisa Bynum. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You are a Brandon-based food blogger.
Yes.
And your blog is entitled The Cooking Bride.
Correct.
And you say in your information that you really weren't a fan of Southern cooking early days.
I am a fan of Southern cooking, but I was not raised on Southern food.
What were you raised on?
My mother and father grew up about 30 miles south of Chicago. So I was raised on Midwestern food, I guess you could say. They moved to Mississippi the year before I was born. So I am born and raised in Mississippi. But again, I was not raised on black-eyed peas and cornbread.
You were raised on meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Yes.
I lived in Peoria for a few.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you know what kind of cooking they eat up
exactly.
there. Lots of meat and potatoes.
So you launched this Cooking Bride in 2009. Tell our listeners exactly what you do there. What is a food blogger, and what are you blogging about?
Well, I wear a lot of hats because I'm a one-man show. So I develop recipes. I test them. When I get them to the point where I feel like they're ready to be published, I style them, I photograph them, I shoot videos, I write about them, and then I publish them on the internet. I publish them on my blog, and then I have social media, YouTube, TikTok, all the players.
All the stuff.
Right, all the stuff that you're supposed to be on.
Well, you've gotten some great notices for your blog. I see you were named one of the 13 best blogs on Southern cooking. Wow, what
yes,
an honor, because there
was.
Are a lot of blogs out there.
There are a lot of blogs.
And so how do people find the blog?
Well, my web address is cookingbride.com. That would be the easiest way to find me. And like again, I'm on Facebook, The Cooking Bride. All of my handles on social media are The Cooking Bride.
Okay, so there's not a blog site?
Yes, my website, cookingbride.com. Okay. Yes.
Now, you started this in 2009, and you do it all.
Yes.
You do the testing, the marketing, the photography, the posting, everything.
Right.
Do you do commercial recipe testing, or are you just recipe testing things that you post on your blog?
I have not commercially. Now, I have written for food magazines where I have tested and developed recipes for publication.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us about some of the recipes that are original that you've created, that you developed and then posted and shared.
Well, I'll back up a little bit. As I mentioned, I wasn't raised on Southern food, and so it's kind of strange that I would have a blog that is based on Southern food. That's
right.
The whole point of my blog. So the way I got started cooking is I married a Southern boy. There's actually a Bynum, Mississippi, somewhere down by Summerall. That's where his people are from. So he grew up eating his grandmama's fried chicken and his mamaw's biscuits and gravy. And so I met him in college, and I was already cooking by them. So when we got married, we decided that I would be the one that would make dinner every night. But he came to me after we had been married for a little while, and he says, there's some recipes that I grew up eating that I really love. Would you mind learning how to make these dishes? And I said, okay, sure.
That was a sweet ask.
Sure, yeah. So the first thing that I learned how to make was his mamaw's chicken and dumplings. Shortly after we got married, I went over to her house, and she was probably early 90s by then, so she wasn't getting around too good. So she just sat at the kitchen table and directed me around her kitchen, and nothing was written down, so it was a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and me just taking notes as furiously as I could. But I finally, after I made it and I tested it a few times to get the measurements right, the ingredients right, I finally got that nailed down. And actually, a couple weeks ago, I had a friend who had surgery, and I brought her the chicken and dumplings as a meal to help mm-hmm. her out. And before I had even gotten home, her husband texted me and said, these chicken and dumplings taste just like my mamaw's chicken and dumplings. And I said, oh, good, I've come full circle. I've done it. I finally. But a lot of the recipes are, some of them are family recipes from my in-laws, my mother-in-law. The cornbread recipe is hers. Some of the side dishes like asparagus casserole, broccoli casserole, things that they always serve during the holidays, those kind of recipes. And then some just if I'm out at a restaurant and I have something that's interesting and I think, well, I wonder if I could figure out how to make that at home. So there's a few dishes on there that are just something that if I'm reading a magazine or reading a book set in the South and they mention some kind of dish, and I'm thinking, okay, let me see if I can figure out how to make that myself.
Great. Now, well, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say 15 years is a great record to be doing something like that. That is hard work.
It is. It is hard work. And it, when I started it, it was not a full-time job. It was a hobby. Food photography, I'd always done photography, but food photography is a completely different beast. So it did take several years to figure out what my style is and kind of learn the ins and outs of that. I would say probably here in the last 3 years that it has become my full-time job now.
Wow. We need to get you on Cooking and Coping so that our Facebook folks can follow you.
Yeah.
And that would be a good synergy, I guess, would be a good
one. So you went to Delta State.
I
so
did.
You were surrounded by good Southern food
yes.
in the Mississippi Delta.
Yes, yes. That is it. I love Delta State, and I love my time there. That's where I met my husband, and it's a great school. I recommend it to
In the
to
first
anybody.
Segment, we were just talking with Java, our producer, was in Cleveland this weekend on Cotton Row eating at Ligna, which is the great new bakery mm-hmm. that Marisol Doyle is doing. Mm-hmm. So we love the Cleveland scene.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, indeed. So you've been doing this, and so it's now a full-time job for you.
Yes,
explain exactly how one
job.
Makes a living as a food blogger and a recipe developer and a food stylist and that all of that, the writer.
There's a few different avenues of making money. When you pull up my website, of course, there's going to be ads up there, and some people don't like the ads, but that is a way that I make money when people view the ads. Also, cooking demos. I actually did a cooking demo in my hometown of Grenada just last week. Freelance writing. I do write for some magazines locally and regionally. And then I have a YouTube channel that I'm trying to grow and get to that point where I can monetize that.
Well, I see that you've been published in a number of regional publications, Eat, Drink, Mississippi, Mississippi Magazine, L.A. Times, which is not regional, Country Living, Shape, Women's Day, and Red Book. I mean, that's a pretty good roster of publications, so you're staying busy there.
Yes.
And are these stories that you submit, or you are hired to write about a certain topic or something?
Both. It's been both, yes.
Okay. And what from your childhood, from your early age, do you still hold to? You say you've sort of transitioned from Midwestern to Southern cooking, but where is the merge? Where are the sort of overlaps in those cuisines?
Well, growing up, my mother did a lot of the cooking. She was a full-time nurse. She became a nurse she went to nursing school when I was a kid, and God bless her that she managed to study nursing school and take care of a toddler, but she did the cooking every day, and so her recipes were a lot of family-friendly type things. And I have some of that on my website as well, because I'm a mother now too. I have a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they do keep me busy. So in addition to the Southern food, there are recipes that I cook frequently several times a month, just easy stuff that I can throw together and get on the table within 30 minutes of getting home and settling down for the evening.
And I see you do keep your Midwestern heritage with the meatloaf, braised mm-hmm. beef tips, and gravy.
Mm-hmm. Those are good old comfort foods.
They are. You know, I wanted to ask you about the air fryer. I see that you use the air fryer in some of your recipes,
yes.
and it's something that Malcolm and Java and I have talked about, and then Java and I are actually exploring and using it now. What do you think about the air fryer?
I use my air fryer every day. I've gotten rid of my toaster completely, and I wouldn't use it. Air fryer is kind of a misnomer. It doesn't really, it's a like a countertop convection oven,
right.
Really. It's not really, doesn't really fry, but it is very easy for, like, when I'm at home for lunch and I need something, you know, try to eat something healthy for lunch, I can pop a piece of frozen fish in there and cook it from frozen in 15 minutes, and I have a decently healthy hot lunch to eat for dinner for lunch.
What about the 9-year-old and the 13-year-old? What are their favorite meals? What do you cook for them? What gets them excited?
They like my Instant Pot red beans and rice. And, you know, that's my 13-year-old is kind of a picky eater. So it really, when the first time I made that for him, and he said, oh, I love this. This is pretty good. I was surprised. It didn't seem like something that he would eat, but I make that a lot because, again, I can put that in the Instant Pot and set a timer for before we leave the house for after-school activities and have it ready by the time I get home.
And your husband's favorite meal?
It's a catfish. Well, he's got a couple. There is a Creole seasoned catfish that has a tomato sauce. It was one of the first meals that I made for him after we were married, and it's still his favorite dish. And then I actually just made this for him over the weekend. It's a shrimp and spinach salad with hot bacon dressing.
Ah, sounds like y'all eat well.
We do.
At the Bynum household.
We do.
So what's next? You've got a lot of balls in the air, but what else is going on? You got anything new going on, or are you just going to keep trudging along with what you got?
Last year, we bought a Blackstone griddle and a pellet grill, and we have spent the last year testing recipes, just kind of figuring out how it works and how to use those two pieces of equipment and testing recipes. And so this month, actually, I'm going to start rolling out recipes that can be cooked on a pellet grill, on a smoker, and for the Blackstone.
Describe the Blackstone grill for our listeners.
It's like a huge cast iron griddle. The one that we have, it's about 28 inches wide, and you keep it outside. It's heated by propane. But we can cook a lot of, we love to use it to sear steaks. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that you really like to do in the house, because in order to get a good sear on it, you've got to turn up the heat really high, and then your house can fill up with smoke, and it's just a smoke detector problem. Start going off. So we really like to use it for that. But then it's just fun in the spring and summer months when it's nice outside just to cook dinner outside.
One of my younger brothers has one. He cooks a whole meal. Mm-hmm. On different parts of it. And he sends me these pictures, and I'm saying, how can you cook five different things on one griddle? But
it's fun, and the food has been delicious. It's some recipes that I always used to make inside over the stove. Now I'm like, no, I'm making it on the Blackstone. That's the only way I'm ever going to make it again, because the sear on it and the crispiness that you can get on the outside just doesn't compare to something that you would get. Or again, if you tried to do it on the stove, your house would probably fill up with smoke.
And what is a pellet grill?
It is a smoker, but instead of using wood chips, it has little like wooden pellets. And if you look at the pellets, it almost looks like, honestly, it kind of looks like what you would put in the bottom of a hamster cage. The little round pellets.
Yeah.
But you fill up a hopper, and the pellet grill. You set the temperature, and then the pellet grill just keeps feeding these wooden pellets into the grill to maintain your temperature. And it's been a lot of fun learning how to use this. And some of the stuff, I mean, we've made, last weekend we made a pulled pork butt. We cooked that, and I've been looking forward to when Kroger has pork butts on sale. I've been watching the sales because I've been so excited to get a pork butt and make pulled pork. But we've done that. It's been delicious. We cooked a brisket last summer, and it was one of the best briskets I had ever had. It wasn't dry. It was just, I mean, it was delicious.
Nothing like a good brisket.
Yes.
And nothing worse than a bad brisket.
Yeah, that's true.
Malcolm, we're learning today.
Yeah, we are. We're always learning. Lisa Bynum, thank you so much for coming in. The Cooking Bride, again, tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you, and keep up with the good work that you're doing.
My web address is cookingbride.com, and I am on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Same handle, The Cooking Bride.
All right. Well, thanks a million for coming in, Carol.
Thank you so much, Lisa. This was fun.
It was fun. Thank you.
Welcome back to Deep South Dining right here on MPB Think Radio. Carol, good morning. So glad that you're back.
Thank you, Mel. I love it on days when the studio is full.
It's hopping.
It is hopping up here at MPB today.
Absolutely. We have two guests in the studio, Caitlin Partee, who goes by KP, and then we have Chef JB, who goes by JB. So welcome.
So you got your KPs and your JBs.
Yeah, and you just, there we go. Thanks for coming, gentlemen. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, sir.
Now, Marissa and I attended last Saturday's amazingly interesting Dirty Napkin Supper Club event. And tell our listeners who might not have a clue what the Dirty Napkin Supper Club's all about.
Okay, so the Dirty Napkin Supper Club was an idea that we actually came up with, inspired by our friends in Florida, the Florida Supper Club. And we attend all of their supper clubs. So so me and JB was thinking, like, this is something we should bring back to Jackson. And we always got a unique perspective on things. So we just wanted to kind of make it more than about food and wine, but bringing community together, you know, through the power of, you know, food. So that's the main thing. So we're always looking for, like, unique perspectives to add to it, such as flowers and such as, like, poets or any little thing that may be different that's not going on around the city. So and then we got an amazing chef, Chef Justin Brown, who comes up with extravagant dishes and things like that. So just trying to create a different type of community here in Jackson.
So, Chef JB, where did you start cooking?
I actually started at a young age, just being around my grandmother. So growing up in the kitchen with her and everything, I was probably one of the only grandsons that stood around in the kitchen. Like, to the point, like, my brother now, they calling me, like, how did I do this? How did I do that? Like, I should have been in the kitchen.
You had your chance. Now, do you cook professionally other than?
Yes, sir, I do.
You have a full-time gig as a chef?
Well, I actually do just private chef, okay. Full-time with catering and everything.
So, all right.
I've worked in restaurants and came up through the restaurant, so.
And now you're doing your own thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Describe for Carol, who wasn't there, and our listeners, what we ate Saturday night at the Dirty Napkin Supper Club.
Okay, so we started off with the passed around appetizer, which was a brie toast. Just toasted out some French bread and sliced brie and drizzled with some honey. And then the first course was a arugula, green apple pecan arugula salad with a lemon maple vinaigrette.
Which was delicious.
Yeah, that would have been my.
It's a fine salad.
Yep.
And then we did a bread service, the sweet potato biscuits with a honey whipped butter. And then we came with the main dish, which was a vanilla brine lamb rack with a sweet potato puree and Brussels.
Yeah, the sweet potato. Well, you used sweet potatoes in the biscuits or the bread and in the puree on the entree, which was great. They were both really well represented there, I thought.
Yes, sir. Thank
now,
you. Thank
did,
you.
I was unable to see where you cooked and how you cooked, but how were the lamb chops? Were they on an open fire? Were they on a grill? Or were they in an oven? Or how did you cook
it? It was seared and then finished off in the oven.
Okay.
Yes, sir. All right.
And when you do this, like this event the other night was at the Orchid Bed and Breakfast, you're always using a different kitchen and a different venue, right?
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So
tough.
So you got to walk in and figure it out, right?
Figure it out.
Yes.
So how was this venue?
It was a challenge because the kitchen was extremely small.
It's a kitchen that only serves breakfast to guests. Yes. I mean, they're not a full-service kitchen.
Right, mm-hmm. But I was actually shocked to see how we made it through, though.
You did well.
How many people did y'all have?
We had about 42 to 45 people
My
there.
My goodness, and mm-hmm. cooked out of that little kitchen.
Just out of little kitchen. Yes. We had to rent the room next door to the kitchen just to have enough room for staff and prep everything. So, but it ended up working out. We was excited to do it in a different location because eventually we want to try to take it on the road to different cities. So this was kind of like a really good prep, you know, to be able to do it in any environment. So,
Carol, it was really unique in that they prompted you to interact with people you didn't know. There were, I call it choreographed. The whole event and evening was choreographed. You were always being sort of prompted to talk to your neighbor, to reach out to someone you didn't know, to put your phone down, quit. Everybody there was taking photographs and video, and we kept being reminded to put your phone down and talk to your neighbor, which was cool.
Yeah.
And then there were all these aspects of the floral arrangements. Talk a little bit about that, how each guest got to create their own floral arrangement.
Okay, yeah. So that's something we've been doing since our very first supper club, where I just wanted to have a unique experience. I always wanted to do, like, I love flowers, plants, and things like that. So I always thought it would be a cool idea if the guests could do, like, tableside bouquets, or they could come and make their own type of flowers. So we usually did bouquets at them where they could pick, like, 10 flowers and wrap it up in a bouquet. But this time, Bellini, Carly at Bellini Blooms and her team, they do an amazing job You know, we said, let's try something different and let's do like put it in a vase. And so they could pick their own flowers, put it in a little water vase. And then what the beautiful thing, what I didn't even think about, you know, the guest set the vase on the table and it kind of added to the decor of the table. So so everybody really loved that. So that's Carly at Bellini Blooms and her team. They do an amazing job every time. So I really like the aspect
that sounds really cool. I've never heard of doing that at a dinner party. That is fantastic.
Yeah, and there were other fascinating components. There was a photo booth. There was live music. Mm-hmm. There were these scrubs. There was someone selling, butters and body oils?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And had that was set up. But my favorite, far and away, was Cubs the Poet.
Yes,
they
sir.
Brought in, Carol, this gentleman from New Orleans, who set up with an old-fashioned typewriter. And you would sit down and you would converse with him. He would ask you a number of questions. And then he would type out a poem just for you based on the conversation. He would then take a photograph of it, give it to you, put it in an envelope, and you would carry your own personal poem around. At the end of the event, he comes out and talks to the whole group, then writes a group poem. Marissa, you were there. You witnessed this. You love this.
I was. It was beautiful.
We were sharing our poems with our group and with our friends. But Cubs the Poet was my favorite component. I mean, it was all fantastic, but I love talking to that guy.
Yes, sir. He did an amazing job.
I cannot believe you did this while I was on one of my few vacations.
Oh, man.
I mean, it just sounds like an experiential dinner.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's the goal that we're going for. That, you know, people could leave there with an experience that they never had before.
Right.
And I think that was everybody highlighted tonight. He did an amazing job. In the poem, it was kind of like for him to come up with that off the spot like
that
so quickly,
great.
And then say it how he said it. It was amazing. Like everyone had a nice one-on-one experience with him. And like I said, it definitely highlighted the night. So we really appreciate that.
Well, I love the whole idea of supper clubs. And it's something that's become popular in the past few years. Mm-hmm. And when I was living up the Delta, I don't know if you've heard of the Delta Supper Club.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, really cool supper club. I remember they had it in an airplane hangar in Greenwood. They move around the Delta to really unique places. So y'all need to check that out.
Definitely.
And we are big fans of Chef David Raines and the Flora Supper Club.
Yes.
And that's great that he inspired you. And now what you're doing is more inspirational than anything I've heard. So you inspire others. But it's just a great way to bring people together around food.
Yes.
And speaking of venues, this particular event was at the Orchid Bed and Breakfast, which is formerly the Millsaps Bowie House on State Street or Old Highway 51, however you like to think of it. But you've had your supper clubs at other venues and other places, right? Tell our listeners a little bit about how you move around to different places.
Okay, so our main venue that we usually use was the Plant Venue over there in Farnborough, the formerly known Eco Shed. So that was our main location that we did it at forever. And this one actually was the first one outside of the Plant Venue.
Okay, all right.
So that's why we had a little, you know, getting adjusted to it, because to be honest with you, we didn't even really view the space until the day before the supper club. So we rented it out and just...
You guys are brave. Yeah.
It was an impromptu situation.
It was an impromptu situation.
It was improv.
It was great.
But it worked out perfect, though. It was the perfect night, perfect setting, the perfect
weather. The
weather
was incredible.
I was actually scared about the weather.
You
earlier
that
week. I was like, man, I hope it's dry. And then, like, that Thursday when we went to the venue... It was windy.
Very windy.
And I was like, man, I hope it's not that windy Friday evening, man. Like,
yeah, it was perfect. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better night.
Yeah, okay, Carol, so it was before bugs and after the storms.
Yeah.
And do you know what the word the poet said the most commonly used word was? Do y'all remember?
Yes. Wind.
Wind.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. It was really a beautiful night. Like I'm still on a high about it. Like it's amazing. And then our host Miranda Joyner, she does a great job at, like you said, just connecting people. with the community around them, and like she's very into like breath work and things like that. So it adds another unique mm-hmm. experience other than just coming up and talking about the food and wine, like really purposely bringing people together. And that's what we love so much about her. She does an amazing job. Miranda Joyner, she's an amazing person. So
yes.
Okay, there are lots and lots of people out mm-hmm. there listening to us right now, mm-hmm. and they are thinking, how can I go to the Dirty Napkins Supper Club? Where yes. can they find you?
Yes, yes.
And how do you sign up?
Yes, so usually we do it every other month, and they could go find us on Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Napkins, or on Instagram's Dirty Napkins Supper Club. We don't have a website or anything yet. We're working
yeah,
on that.
But that's cool.
Yes,
Instagram
ma'am.
And Facebook. I saw you on Facebook.
Yes,
I didn't
ma'am.
Know about Instagram.
Yes, ma'am. We would love to have as many people come out and experience this as possible. And hopefully we have you at the next one and want you to come back. And
yeah, man.
Because I wanted to, I usually at the end of the supper close, I let people around the table kind of introduce themselves and things like that. And it was so much going on, I completely forgot about it. And then usually I get a dirty napkin signed, and that's our name. I take a dirty napkin from someone, and we'll sign it, and I get it framed, and I forgot to do that. So I'm going to have you guys back, because you guys got to sign a napkin.
Absolutely.
Got to. You have to.
So where did the name come from?
Okay, so I actually came up with the name. Dirty Napkins. I'm really big into food and restaurants and things like that. And I was thinking, like, what would be a good name for, like, a food blog or something? And I was like, well, if the food is good, then the napkin should be dirty. So, and I just stuck the name stuck in my head and just ran with it.
It's like they say at the end of an Italian meal, the way to know whether it was a good meal is how many breadcrumbs are left at the table. All right, we've got a caller. Ann from Alabama is driving through, heard our conversation okay. and has a question about the supper club. Hello, yes. Ann. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm getting hungry listening to y'all.
that's the point.
I came from a North Mississippi town, and when we talked about supper clubs, it was like potluck. Everybody brings a dish. So that's what I think about when I hear supper club. But this is something that the food is already prepared for you, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
it's
a great question. You know, the term supper club used here is sort of an evolution of the one we grew up with. I was in supper clubs when I was young. Everybody would bring
yeah.
a dish. But this
right.
is a sort of curated, you come and the full experience is already planned. You just sit, eat, converse, and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd you come up with the concept? I know it's not original, but mm-hmm. but it is an interesting contemporary concept.
Yeah, so like I said, we just wanted to do something different. We wanted to be more than just food and, you know, and wine. We just wanted people to really connect. I'm really big on community and building community. So that's why we have prompts to do different things and just be a unique experience where people, you could leave with a new best friend. I know a lot of people say, hey, I was able to talk to him and things like that. So it was very cool. So that's our whole purpose of doing it like that.
I ended up sitting next to someone I'd met and worked with in the past and hadn't seen in a while. And, you know, we sort of got to reacquaint ourselves with each other.
Loved it.
And
loved
then the
that.
Woman across the street from, I mean, across the street, across the table from Marissa and I was from Atlanta.
Yeah.
She was here visiting with her cousin. Mm-hmm. And she brought a whole new sort of perspective to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But besides the food and all of the experiences, there was also wine
yes.
pairings. Talk a little bit about your partners in the wine and that.
Yes, yes.
So we actually got Anne Marie from Rain Cellar and with the supper club down there with Flora, and I love her. Like,
shout out to Anne Marie.
I love
She's
her.
My like, favorite person in the wine yeah. business. I went over
she
there
is.
Saturday. She works for David Raines, and mm-hmm. she is a right now woman.
She is.
If you think about a wine or see a wine, Anne Marie is on it right at that
on
moment,
right
ordering
there.
It
yes.
for you.
Yes,
love it.
It rained cellars.
Love
yeah.
it. And this was her first time actually being a part of it. And we would love to for you to come out. And she was a little nervous. And I told her, why are you nervous? This is what you do best. But she did an amazing job. But that was our first time using her. But usually we use different sommeliers from around the city, like Justin Watts at Applo's. He's done a few in the past. And so we always try to bring somebody new in, you know, from around the city that really good at it. So, but we'll probably have Anne-Marie come back very soon. For sure.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job. Y'all had quite an array of wines.
That's perfect. That's what we like to hear. I didn't get to try any, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, and one of her real specialties is finding really great wines at excellent prices.
Yes.
I mean, she has turned us on to some really, really great stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. Every time I go to one of their supper clubs, I always leave with a case full of wines because everything's so good.
Think they plan that?
Now, Chef, have y'all started planning the next event yet?
We actually was talking about it yesterday. Like, so probably this week we're going to probably have details and stuff for the next one.
It'll be like in a month and a half or so.
Yeah,
maybe
about
2 months.
A month and a half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give people time to plan out. We're hoping to start doing one monthly. But it's just so much that goes into it.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. So every other month, give people a little chance to miss it and things like that. And we actually trying to start going on the road. So we're thinking about doing one in Alabama, Birmingham, and hopefully Houston and maybe Hattiesburg and things like that. So start taking it on the road where other cities can kind of experience it a little bit.
Mississippi.
That's great.
Yes.
So, Caitlin, what is your background? What have you been doing up until this point in your life?
Okay, so I tell everybody my day job is I'm a wedding photographer by trade. So I do weddings and commercials and anything with a camera, honestly, for a living. And then we do the dirty napkins. It's just a little fun thing right now that we do right now.
There's a third gentleman in the booth with us who's had a camera on you ever since you walked in. Explain who he is. I see he's a photographer as well.
Yeah, this is the amazing Brandon Jackson. Brandon Jackson Photography, a good friend of mine, a great media person, cameraman, photographer, videographer. And he's always there for me. Like, honestly, I thought that we were supposed to be here at 10 today. It was supposed to be 9. And I called everybody, it was like 8:30. They're like, hey, y'all, it's 9 o'clock, not 10 o'clock. And everybody was able to hop up. But he's a great guy. So anybody looking for a great photographer, Brandon Jackson Photography, top notch.
Yeah. Well, I saw him all over the place Saturday night, working hard.
Yes, sir.
Marissa,
yes, sir.
You were there. Talk to our listeners a little bit. Do you have any questions for our guest? You were there. You enjoyed each and every step of this, every moment.
I did. I felt like it was such an intimate and unique experience and something I never would have, tried to do or thought about doing on my own, but I'm so glad I got to have the opportunity. I'm really, really grateful for it. I don't know that I have any questions,
That's cool.
I do. You stopped before he could tell them about the cheesecake.
Okay. Well, we don't want to leave out the cheesecake, Chef.
So the cheesecake was a French vanilla creme brulee cheesecake, and it was topped with berries and honey.
It was lovely.
And I had to leave early. I saw you putting the fire to them when I was leaving. You were finishing them off.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about the cheesecakes. Is that a recipe that you've developed, one you got somewhere?
So the cheesecake recipe, I used to work at Reunion Country Club.
Right.
And at the time, we had Chef Rene, who was a French master chef from New Orleans. And learned a lot from him, and he actually gave me a couple of his recipes, and that's actually one of them.
Oh, okay. So that's a heirloom recipe for you from someone you worked with in the past.
Yes, sir.
That was good.
Yes, sir.
What else, having experienced this, what else would you envision, Caitlin, doing differently the next time? I mean, this time you had the floral arrangements, the poet, the live music, all of that. Quickly, because we got to run.
Okay.
So, what's the next one look like?
So the next one, like I said, we're planning it right now. The poll was such a hit, I don't know if I had to bring him back or not, because everyone loved this. I think everybody's going to be expecting him. But I'm always trying to bring unique experiences there. So I was actually thinking today, having some type of painter there, like a live painter that make it do quick paintings of each person there or something like that. Or I know we'll talk about having an illusionist there or something.
Illusionist.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
Something that's always different, for sure.
Well, thanks, Caitlin Partee and JB, Chef JB. Thank y'all very much for coming, and we look forward to the next Dirty Napkin Supper Club.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Deep South Dining is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Think Radio. We are funded by the generous contributions from folks like yourself, and we thank you. Our show is produced by Marissa Vaughn and Java Chapman. For my co-host, Carol Palmer, I am Malcolm White, and we ask that you now stay tuned for the award-winning show, Now You're Talking, with Marshall Ramsey. He recently, that show recently won the best talk show at the Mississippi Broadcasters Association. So congratulations to the team for Now You're Talking, followed by Southern Remedy at 11. And we again ask you to join us every Monday and every Sunday morning at 9 for more Deep South Dining on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.